Have your Bibles, hold your Bible up if you have your Bible, or your telephone, that'll do, whatever. Look around, let's look around you. Isn't that great? This is a Bible-believing church. And thank God for that, and we're going to remain a Bible-believing church. Let's go to the book of Galatians tonight, chapter 6, and I'm just going to use one verse as a springboard verse for us. Well, I'll read verse 9 and then verse 10, the main text verse. And I want to speak to you about seizing the opportunity. Seizing the opportunity. You know, God gives us opportunities, right? And did you know we're going to answer for those? We will give an answer to God for the opportunities He's given us as to whether we've taken them or not. Not only that, but how good we do with those opportunities that God does give us. So Galatians 6 and verse number 9, and let us not be weary in well doing. That's so important, isn't it? For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We have a lot of faint not Baptists sometimes, but that's not a good thing. As we have therefore opportunity, there it is. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. God gives us those responsibilities and those opportunities. I'm glad for the opportunities He's given me over my lifetime. Opportunity, by the way, never comes. It's here. Opportunity is here. See, I'm waiting for it to come. No, it's here right now. And we have to do something with that opportunity. And someone has said it this way, the door of opportunity is so wide open that it's off its hinges. There are plenty of ways that we can serve the Lord. And believe it or not, opportunity will look for you if you're worth finding. And so we have to take opportunities that God has given us. The occasion that presents itself, opportunity, as we have therefore opportunity, and God gives us those things. So, number one, seize the opportunity to know the Bible better. Seize the opportunity to know the Bible better. And some of these are going to be very basic, but we need reminders. And it's so easy, is it not, to sort of drift a little bit away from what we know we should be doing and using those opportunities. And that means that we're going to have to give some priorities in our time. There are all kinds of things that get in the way as we have that opportunity to know our Bibles better. There's sort of a dirge in most churches today where people just don't know the Word of God. They have a casual Christianity that does not get them into the Bible, into the Word of God. We need to seize the opportunity to do that. We have the same amount of time every day. 24 hours, what are you going to do with it? That's up to you. 168 in a week. Here's what 1 Peter said, chapter 2 and verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may what? Grow thereby. If you're a new convert, one of the best things you can do, one of the greatest things you can do, and one of the things you ought to do, is get in the Word right away. You're a new convert, you hadn't been saved very long, stay in the Word of God. And you'll grow. That's the whole purpose of it, that you're going to grow. Stay in the Bible. Psalm 119:11. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. You're struggling and having problems with some pet sin in your life. It's probably something that is telling everybody else that you're not spending enough time in the Word of God. Because the Bible says that. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against thee. And if you're living a life that you have a sin that you will not give up, again, it would say that you're not living in the Word of God and staying in the Word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15, study. That'd kill a lot of Baptists, wouldn't it? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. So many lay people in our churches should be able to give the answers, and they're not. And so they say, go ask pastor or go ask the Sunday school teacher. You should stay in the Word so that you know some of these things about eschatology and about theology and about those things, because if we stay in the Word of God, we're going to know. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. People say, well, what do you believe about this? Or what does the Bible teach about this? And you go, ah. Oh. You know, you're an ah millennialist. You go, ah, what do? And so we have to know, and we should be able to give an answer for it. Seize the opportunity to know the Bible better. And then, these are basic, but we need to be reminded. Seize the opportunity to pray. Isn't it amazing what will keep you away from a prayer life? And you start out of a morning, and it just seems like one thing piles up and another and another and another. And you've got to rush. You've got to get to work. You didn't get up quite early enough. Or there's some other things that are pressing. You got a doctor's appointment, and you have all of these different things on the calendar. All of that's there. But, my friend, you need to get up in time to have some time alone with God. Now, that may not be the only time for you, but basically that is the time that the Bible teaches is the best time, when we get up early in the morning. And you can, you don't even have to get out of bed. You can be praying. And I like to pray, Lord, order my steps before I ever get out of the bed. That way I don't fall when I get out of bed, maybe, at my age. But at any rate, order my steps. And Lord, I commit this day unto Thee. I commit my way unto Thee. And You promised, if I did that, You would direct my path. That's a good prayer to pray right away. Lord, direct my path. Don't you want God to direct your path? I do, and I'm sure you do. And so pray that kind of prayer and do it very quickly. You can do that. Prayer, by the way, is asking. There's nothing wrong with that. Why do people say, I'm praying and I'm asking God for something and I just don't want to bother God and I hate to ask Him for this and I hate to ask Him for that? Now, you got to have the right motive, and all of that stuff's got to be in there. But ask God. You know, God's not disturbed about you asking Him. I've often wondered, how in the world does God hear all the prayers of all the people that are praying all over the world at one time? And my answer is, He's God. He's able to do that. He is God, and He hears all of those prayers, and I'm glad that He does. Daniel prayed in the morning, and then he had a pattern praying around noontime, just before you eat your chicken, amen. And then at nighttime, before you have that closing snack, pray. Take your time to pray to God, and it's so important. Seize the opportunity to pray. How many of you believe prayer changes things? Say amen. Amen. I really believe that. And a lot of predestination people say, no, it doesn't change anything. You're just going through some kind of little ritual. No, prayer changes things. God wouldn't have taught us that in His Word if it didn't do that. You know why it changes? Because of God's power. God will always answer your prayer, right? He'll say yes, and then sometimes we may not like it. He says no, and then sometimes He says, you just wait a little while. But He always answers our prayers, and He does it according to His will. Seize the opportunity to pray. And I want you, as we go over these things in the message, to think about your relationship and where you are in these things so that when the invitation comes up, you might make some fresh and new commitments to God about these things. It's so easy for us to atrophy in our prayer life and get away from God. We need to seize the opportunity to pray. And then, this is old school, I know, but it's so needed. We need to seize the opportunity to witness. Seize it. That means look for it. Look for opportunities to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it can happen. I was in the barbershop the other day getting a haircut. And, of course. And so there was a conversation came up. There was a guy that was a Marine, not a former Marine, Ron, but a Marine. He was sitting in a chair. And another guy over here was an Army guy, one of those tough guys. And he had been in that group. And they were talking and talking and talking, and I was sitting there just listening. Some of it was good. Some of it was nonsense. And I just kept listening. The lady was cutting my hair. And so finally one of the guys said something about, he was a former ranger. He said, you know, I don't know if that was hell and going into some kind of claustrophobic situation in a MRI, he said, I sure wouldn't want to go to hell. And he said, I sure don't want to go to hell. And so when I got up, I said, do you really not want to go to hell? He said, no, I really don't. And I said, well, let me tell you how to go to heaven. And I had a whole group of people there. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you. I said, here's a great opportunity. God opened the door. And I said, you need to be saved. You need to trust Christ. And I told them how to do it and gave them a tract. And I hadn't seen them yet. But at any rate, you give the gospel out, give the seed out, and let God take care of the results. But seize the opportunity to do that. I was witnessing to a guy on a plane one day flying somewhere, and I got to witnessing to him. He said, hey, you know, said, I'm a Christian. And he said, I have an office in Nacogdoches, and then I have one in Nashville. And he said, by the way, have you ever heard of the Sons of the Pioneers? How many of you have heard of them? Yeah, you young people don't know what I'm talking about. You don't even know who Clem Cadillhopper was. But at any rate, this guy, we were talking, and he said, I've got some humor. I have an attorney in our church. He's a deacon, and he's good with humor. And he said, I'm going to send you some tapes. And he said, if you like the Sons of the Pioneers, we're redoing all of their songs. And I'm going to send you tapes for that. And he sent me a whole bunch of stuff. Witnessing pays off. And we had a good conversation the rest of the time. And I got those things, and I've listened to them off and on. Oh, you know, tapes is what I listen to sometimes. Modern people, I don't even know what you call those things. You stick in the computer and you listen to it. But at any rate, I listen to my old tapes and I enjoy them. But it was fun to meet him, just to witness and talk to him and have conversation on the airplane. Well, we ought to do that. Seize the opportunity to witness. You know what, God? Look at Psalm. And let's just go there just a second, if you will, to Psalm 126 and verse 6. I love this verse. And it's, some try to take away the meaning of it, but I believe it means what it says. And the Bible says it very clearly. Go to Psalm 126. If you're there, follow along. The Lord turned again the captivity of Zion. We were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. And then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Talking about the Jews and all that. And then he said, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. I believe that is a soul-winning text. I know it's in the Old Testament, but I believe it's a soul-winning text. And here's what he says. He says in that verse, he that goeth. And the first thing you got to do, folks, is you got to go. He that sits on his blessed assurance, that's not what it says. He that goeth forth, and then you need a broken heart, and weepeth. You're going forth with a brokenness. You want to see people saved. And I'm telling you, that's the underlining purpose of this church, to bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what else we do, every ministry is geared to reach lost people. And I had a staff worker one time, and I told him, I said, you're not using this ministry to reach lost people. He said, well, I don't believe you have to. I said, listen. Every ministry we have, the bottom line is we're trying to get people saved and get them to the Lord Jesus Christ. So straighten up. He didn't and he left. But at any rate, that was all right. I was glad he did. But that's just part of it. Seize the opportunity to witness. You have to plan it sometimes. Pray for the opportunity. Say, God, give me an opportunity to witness for you today. You'll be surprised how many doors he'll open for you. You'll just say, that's it. He's opened the door for me. And don't be bashful. Why be bashful about it? You say, well, that's just my temperament. I'm bashful. Get over it with the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen? And he'll make you witness and help you to witness and do those things. He that goeth forth and weepeth. And here's the promise. You're bearing precious seed. What's that? The gospel. The gospel. And not politics and not all those other things, but the gospel. Everywhere Paul went, what did he do? He preached the gospel. And shall doubtless come again, the promise, with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I think I told you one time that when I was a little boy, I thought that was sheep. He said, if he'll go forward and do all that, he'll bring his little sheep with him. Then I discovered later on, he's talking about the result of planting seed and bringing those in and doing that. And so that's what we need to do. We need to do what God says to do. So there's toil, there's tears, and then there's triumph that God gives us. That's a promise of his word. We won't always have them saved. A lot of people don't get saved. They're not interested in it. But you give them the word, you don't know where that'll go. But sometimes they will accept Christ. So do that. And if we're going to be a successful church, we've got to be a witnessing church. We just have to be. Everybody, men, women, teenagers, everybody has to do that. And then seize the opportunity, and this is a good one, to serve. Seize the opportunity to serve. God didn't leave you here not to serve. And you know, every church has a lot of needs, doesn't it? This church has needs, places to serve, and all of that. And so if you're available and you have that time and you pray about it and God says you need to serve, then my friend, you need to serve. You say, I can't serve. Well, everybody said that at some point in their life, I guess. But when you turn it over to God, God will take you and use you and you can serve him. And so just bug the pastor to death. Just come to him and say, I want somewhere to serve. I want somewhere to serve. And after he faints and gets up and talks to you a little while and all of that, he'll have a place for you. And I'm serious. We need to serve God. Young people, you can serve God. Thank God for our young people that serve God. We see that among them, and that's good. And we can do it. We need to serve. The fields are white. We need servants. Let me ask you this question. Where are you serving tonight? And some of you would say, I'm serving here and here and here. And don't burn out. Be careful. But some are serving two and three places. But some would have to say, honestly, preacher, I'm really not locked in to a ministry. I'm really not serving anywhere right now. And, you know, I love it when new people join the church. They may come from a church out of town, out of state, or whatever. And they get involved and they serve the Lord. They say, I'm ready to do something. Dr. Barber used to call them, he said, they're church people. They're church people. And I'd always know what he's talking about when he's referring to that. People who want to serve and they give their best in God's main place of service, no matter where else you go, and you can use all of it for his glory, but it's the local church. The local church must have servants who are doing the job. So seize the opportunity to serve. And then seize the opportunity to create unity, not disunity. And I won't say a whole lot about that because I said a whole lot about grumbling and complaining and the people that were complaining against Moses this morning. But I'm telling you, we need to create unity. See the good in the church. Some people just see the bad. See the good. There's a lot of good. It's good everywhere. And we just need to see the good. See the good in missions. I'm glad we're a missions-minded church. I believe in missions. How about you? Say amen if you do. We believe in reaching the world. And thank God we have over 200 we're helping support. And thank God they're preaching the gospel. And if we could have got all the report from all of those today, there would have been a lot of people, no doubt, that we would know that got saved all over the world because we seized the opportunity to reach them. Seize the opportunity for souls and create unity among those and all of the things that God wants us to do. Youth in your youth department, seize the opportunity not to stir up trouble in the youth department. And all of us have different temperaments, different ideas. We all are different in our deportment, but we need to get along, amen? Young people, get along in the youth department. I think they had 90, almost 100 in the youth department this morning. How many did you have? 97 in the youth department this morning. I'm telling you, if you got 97 teenagers, and I love teenagers, I was one time many years ago. I can sort of remember it, but you need unity, amen? And there's no reason for you not to get. I mean, if he steals your boyfriend, say, praise God. If I'd have married him, no telling what I'd have turned out to be or whatever. Just don't worry about it. Just have unity. By the way, there's not an organization on the face of the earth that is perfect.
That's right.
And if it is, please don't join it. You'll mess it up. You will mess it up completely. Don't major on minors. J. Frank Norris said, major on majors and minor on the minors. I've sort of had it with a lot of these preachers. All they want to do is just major on the minors. And all they want to do is be negative and ultra hyper legalistic and all those things. Now, we have some standards and we need to stand for those and all of that, but we need to major on the majors and minor on the minors. Some things are not worth griping about, fussing about. I mean, if you don't like my bright yellow tie or whatever, orange tie, tough. Somebody gave it to me, and I'm going to wear it. But we major on the minors. Focus on others and focus on the cause. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you. God said that's what we need to have, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment, the same spirit. 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, be ye all of one mind. Man, to get a church moving in that direction, in the major things, all in one mind, that's great. Having compassion one of another, being willing to forgive and overlook things. Love as brethren, be pitiful. Some of us have forgotten to be pitiful. Be courteous. She didn't speak to me. She went right by me, saw me, and she didn't even speak to me. Or he went right by me. Well, that happens, doesn't it? And by the way, we do the same thing sometimes. Not intentionally. It just happens. We need to do those things. Don't have bitterness. And then seize the opportunity to judge sin. You come to church, you hear the preacher preach about things that are wrong, things that are sinful. You know, there are some sinful things, right? Right? There are, that's sort of weak, but right? There are some sinful things. And they are in the lives of people in our churches. And so when you hear somebody preaching about those things, maybe jealousy, maybe envy, maybe pride, maybe pornography, maybe it's bitterness. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's depression. A lot of different things. We can go on with a whole lot of different things. But those things we need to deal with. Maybe it's a battle in your home where your marriage is about to break up. And you're dealing with that. Listen, judge sin in your life and get that stuff right. An attitude, alcohol, drugs, apathy. Bitterness, jealousy, all of those things. Materialism, that's a sin that so many Baptists and so many Christians sell out to. Materialism, that's number one. Serving God and being right with God and doing God's will. It's not that. It's all about making money. It's number one. How can we make the most money? And materialism can be a problem. And lust and pride, all of that. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. So we need to seize the opportunity to judge sin. You not get away with sin. You're not going to do it. And there are going to be consequences. So if you have some sinful attitude, some sinful habit, some sinful practice in your heart tonight, I'm giving you the opportunity to face that in your conscience and let the Holy Spirit speak to you about it and then seize the opportunity to make it right. Tonight. To make it right with Almighty God. Seize the opportunity to to be saved. If you're here without Christ, seize the opportunity. Jesus said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Every time you say no to God, he convicts you. You know you should be saved. You put it off. I don't want to go down in front of those people. I don't want to do this. You put it off. You put it off. Then your heart hardens just a little bit more. A little more atrophy sets in. You know, you tie your arm behind your back long enough and you can't hardly use it. And that's what happens, hardening of the heart, hardening. That's why God says you need to be saved now. Today is the day. Today is the right time. My spirit shall not always strive. God is gracious. Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me. That's not enough. He said, that's good, and I believe what you're saying. I'm almost going to get saved. That's not enough. And that was a bad mistake. We never read where he got saved. Felix said, well, I'll tell you what. I like what you're saying, but some more convenient day. Another day later on. I want to tell you, and this is the truth, and God knows, I have buried people who were in a service where I was preaching the very next week, who I watched fight and hold on to the pew and not come and not walk the aisle, and they got killed the very next week. And as far as the family and myself knew, they died and went straight to hell. Isn't that tragic? Friend, if you're here tonight, you don't want that to happen. I'm telling you, seize the opportunity to be saved, and God will honor that. Let's stand and we'll pray and have our invitation. And I'm just giving this invitation. If you're not saved, come and be saved. And then, folks, all of those things we've mentioned, could you make some new commitments tonight? That's what I'm asking. That's why to preach a message like this, make new commitments about your Bible reading, your prayer life, your witnessing, all of these different things. We all need that, serving, creating unity, the things that we've mentioned. If God's spoken to you about it, come down here and deal with it and talk to him about it and get it right, okay? Father, thank you for your word. And Lord God, we know you love those that are here that are unsaved. There may just be one or just a few, but I pray, God, you would speak to them. They would seize this wonderful, wonderful opportunity to accept Jesus Christ into their heart. And then, Lord, we who are believers, help us to think about these things that we could improve, do better. We need to make new commitments in those areas. Help us to do it. In Jesus' name, amen.